Before I get started, so I write these sermons. I try to do a little sermon series. But if there's anything you guys ever want to talk about, hear me preach about, please contact me, talk to me in person. I'm willing to do whatever you guys want to listen to. But today we're going to talk about hope. So last week we talked about faith. So today our focus is hope. Our scripture reading is from Romans 8, 12 through 26. So therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, if we are children of God, then we are the heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation awaits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, that redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Some of the greatest Christian songs of hope, in my personal opinion, are hymns like My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, Rock of Ages, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, and you know there's many more. Christians, we are a people of hope. But we don't hope in just anything. We don't just hope just to hope. We hope in something specific, something there. Now, Paul wrote this. He starts out talking about freedom, and then he switches over to hope. He reminds his readers, and those of us who come later, what a sinner is our hope. That's what we should focus on. That's what we are based off of, is this hope. The hope that we have as Christians is a hope that can withstand anything. Withstand persecutions, natural disasters, personal tragedies, economic downturns, and gloomy days. Our hope is a hope focused. It's focused on this relationship with Jesus. And this relationship can withstand anything. So Paul, he starts out writing that we receive the Spirit of adoption. We can now identify ourselves as children of God, members of God's family. This comes at our baptism. Our baptism, we celebrate that we are being adopted by our Lord in a similar manner to Jesus' baptism, when the Holy Spirit descends and God says, "This is my Son, and for us, our daughters too, in whom I am well pleased." Now, we don't know why God picks us. It doesn't really make any sense at all. It's not because of our individual qualities. It's not because of our characteristics. It's not anything that sets us apart from each other that makes God pick us over someone else. All of humankind is on an equal footing. We all stand before God. We are all sinners in need of the Savior. And we're all broken people in need of healing. We can only say that God wills us. It's in his will to adopt each of us as his own. That's the only thing that makes sense. Nothing we do can earn this relationship. Nothing we do makes us stand apart from anyone else to say, "God, pick us first." It's God's will. He says, I will adopt all of you. Now, Paul instructs his readers to celebrate this truth. They may have been adopted into God's family, and to allow that truth to be a seed of their hope. And this seed can be spread and given to others to spread this hope. And to grow this hope, we give prayers of thanks. Beginning of our days, at the end of our days, during church. We do the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Holy Communion, baptisms, worship on Sundays, fellowship. All of this to celebrate the truth that we are God's children. All of this for the hope of that relationship. What we are striving for. We're striving for that close relationship with Jesus. Now Paul goes on to write, that our adoption as children of God enables us to cry, Abba, Father. Now this is a shocking, crazy statement right here. Especially at that time, people would be like, what in the world are you talking about? No other faith tradition addresses God in such term of familiarity as Father, as Dad. This is mind-boggling, this statement by Paul. The creator of the universe, the God that created everything, created you, created me, created the world, created the entire universe. This God who came and died for us, for the salvation of all humankind, allows us to address him in this form of familiarity, this Dad. This personal, this intimate relationship is something that is celebrated over and over again in the Scriptures. We see in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus tells his followers that our Father knows the number of hairs on our heads. Psalm 136 celebrates the fact that Jesus knew about all of us as we were still in our mother's wombs, and that God knows all of our thoughts before we even think them. Throughout these writings and throughout Paul, he describes the Christians have a unique relationship with God. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. God's Spirit, it speaks to our spirit, and we speak to God back through it. And in Romans, Paul, he assures his readers that absolutely nothing, nothing at all, can separate us from this love and this unique relationship with God through Jesus. This relationship, he wants of us. He gives us all of this in hopes it will come to him. He wants us to be close to him. He gives us these terms of familiarity. He gives us this ability to be close to him through the Spirit. He gives us all that, and that is our hope. And our hope becomes more secure because of the relationship that we have with God. We are more than just a speck of dust in the universe. We are more than simply a number. We are a family with God at the head, and he cares for us. We live in this reality that God holds us in the palm of his hand, and he's a part of us through every day, through every time, through every good time, every bad time, every gloomy day, every time we travel, every test we take. God is with us. And through that, that is our hope. Now, Paul goes on to write. He writes to these people in the time of persecution, this book of Romans. He writes to the Roman people when they are being persecuted for their faith, for their belief in Christ. These people in Rome, they were dying for their faith. So those people, he writes to them, he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will about to be revealed to us. Paul writes the same words to the people who have lost their homes, their belongings, their loved ones, in fires and floods and tornadoes and earthquakes. He writes to those who are seeking jobs, those who are struggling to make ends meet, those who are trying to raise children and live lives that honor God, and bear witness to God's love and grace. He's writing to these people, telling them of this hope, telling them it's okay. All these struggles you're facing now, God is with you, And these are nothing compared to the glory that you'll have later in life. All these persecutions are nothing. And we look around us. Even today, we know things, they're not the way they should be in the world. It says, even creation groans, according to Paul, and waits to be released from this curse, the effects of sin. We know that there will be a time coming, where the sufferings and struggles, they'll be over. It'll all be good. This is what Paul is telling us about the glory that is being revealed. There will be a time when there'll be no more hate, there won't be love. No more death, but only life. No more injustice and prejudice. There will be a time of peace and justice. Now, this hope is not something to numb us of the pain around us. It's nothing to hide it from you. That's not what hope is meant to be. Rather, this hope, it enables us to have a broader perspective and to see that the difficult times of others and the difficult times we experience are not the sum of our existence. That's not what we live for. That's not what we strive for. We don't strive to suffer or to make others suffer. We don't strive to sit back and let others suffer. We hope and we strive for a greater world and a greater creation around us. An eternal life is bigger. It's greater than the now. Our success and failures, our triumphs and struggles, that's not what life is about. Life is much, much more than that. There are times that can't even bear resemblance to what we go through now. This eternal life we will have, this hope in Jesus, all of that's what we strive for. One of the characteristics that sets the Christians apart from all other people is hope. This deep hope in a relationship with Jesus and a perfect life eternally. This is the hope. It empowers us and transforms our lives. And through that, we can transform others' lives. To go out and talk to others, spread this hope to all the nations. We are able to feel this peace and this contentment with our lives because of this hope. We can feel it. We know it's there, and we know it's coming. It is hope, and it shines through this darkness, and it breaks all the blackness of despair and fear. It is hope. Hope is this light in the darkness. It is a light that we need to bring into the world. And this hope is ours. It's personal to each and every person. This relationship with Jesus, he invited you. He invited all of you, but he invited you personally. He said, you are a child of mine, and you can call me Father. Now, in a similar manner to the way, as Paul says beginning, about freedom, we choose not to be enslaved, but rather to walk in the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus, freedom of hope, this freedom to do whatever we will. But we are people who walk in this freedom, and we are people that live in this hope, and we are people that spread the good news. If you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you again for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for dying on the cross for us and giving us this personal relationship with you. Lord, thank you for giving us hope for this future, hope for this eternal life of peace and justice and life. Lord, again, thank you for being with us in our times of suffering. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.